thankful to be with you again this afternoon. Hope that the Lord will be with us in this portion of the service. The Lord would bless. I would like to continue in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. And there was a lot that happened in the city of Philippi. A church was constituted, and it was constituted because the Lord had sent the Apostle Paul to preach, and how all that worked out according to the Lord's providence. And we like to think that if we just keep on serving the Lord, which we should, if we give it all we got in the service, which we should, that everything is guaranteed to be wonderful in life. We like to think that. Experience will tell us that's not the case. I do believe, though, that what we put into the Lord's kingdom does have a great impact positively in our life. And I do believe that if we would ever stray, God forbid, that it would not be well for us. And it would be, I believe, a very sad existence. I'm spoiled to be a member of the Primitive Baptist Church. I do not deserve it, but I hope I never leave it. But it can happen. It can happen to me, and it can happen to you. And I have had my heart broken, and you have too, by those who have left their first love and have decided that the world offers them better than what the Lord does. I hope I never get that way, because I think that would be the most lonely and sad and dark way of life. I see it in those who have left. They don't see it. They're blind and can't see afar off. Peter talked about people who do not do the things he said, and he said they are blind. And they have forgotten that they were once purged from their old sins. The Apostle Paul talked about a man named Demas, who he once had great appreciation for. Then he would say later on, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world more than the world to come. It is difficult, though, I understand, that when we encounter hardship, that it does shake us. Paul said to endure hardness as a good soldier. And I've thought a lot about things that happen. And I mentioned this morning the question that is asked, why do good things or bad things happen to good people? And I've reached a conclusion about that question. It's the wrong question. It's the wrong question. But there is an answer to the question. But nobody wants to hear it. The reason why bad things happen to good people is because there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. The reason bad things happen is because sin is in us and it's on the earth. And even then, we do not get what we deserve. That's the last thing you should want, is what you deserve. Because what you deserve is hell. Death, hell, and the grave. It's the wrong question. The right question is not why does this happen. The right question is what did God do about it? That's the right question. Earlier this year, a good friend of mine was tragically killed. He was murdered. I don't want to bring up bad things, but I'm going to. He was one of the finest men that I've ever known. He was a deacon in the church at Purcell, Oklahoma, Brother Mike Winchester. I've known him all my life, and he left behind a widow and six children, two of whom very small. There were 1,200 people at that funeral. I've never seen that many people. He had four preachers preach his funeral, all of them Primitive Baptists. Then he had another Primitive Baptist preacher do the graveside. And what the common theme of all that those ministers said was the grace of God. The grace of God. And I'd wondered what a lot of those who did not understand about the grace of God thought about that. Because they were there, why did this happen? Why did this happen? Why did God let this happen? The old Baptist, they said, it's not why this happened. It's what did God do about it? God blessed Brother Mike with eternal life. God blessed him with the knowledge of the gospel. God gave him a life in the kingdom. God took him home to glory. And he's doing better than we are.
That's
right. We're the ones who have to struggle. Brother Mike does not need to hear a sermon about grace anymore. He sees it in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are things, though, that we wrestle with, that we contend with. And when I think about the Apostle Paul as he came to Philippi based upon this dream that he had that God sent, and how it fell upon that day that he preached to those women, and the Lord opened the heart of Lydia, and she attended to. And the scriptures say that she was baptized, and her whole house that day. She was baptized, and then she constrained Paul and those with him to stay at her house. And then they would go out into the city, and they would preach the word of the Lord. But something happened. And we'll not get into all that happened, but something happened. Whereas they were accused of something. And it was a false accusation. Basically, the love of money was the root, as it is of all evil. And they were accused of a crime. They were condemned. The entire multitude rose up against Paul and Silas. They created a riot, these people. The judgment and the verdict was issued, and in the 23rd verse we read, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them in prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. They were whipped, beaten, and thrown into this innermost dungeon. And that jailer, we read, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. This type of jail prison was underground, and it was dark. They were in pain, and they were chained up, and they did not know what was going to happen. What do you do? What do you do? What do you do when you don't know what to do? What do you do? You know what they did? They prayed. And they sang. They did what? They sang. They sang. They sang. And at midnight, in the darkest time of the night, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto the Lord. And the prisoners heard them. They sang out loud. There was that song that says, I sing because I'm happy. Seriously? Are we happy all the time? I'm not. Did they have a reason to be happy? I mean, the older I get, the more I think, I don't know how to put this. I just want to be real. Okay, I don't want to say things that sound good that may be true. And I don't want to give y'all the impression that I'm doing everything just right, and if I can do it, you can too. I want y'all to know that I struggle as much, if not more, than all of you do. I want y'all to get that about me. And there are times that I do not feel like singing. There are times I do not feel like preaching. There are times I don't feel like listening to preaching, like Saturday afternoon. I understand. Y'all want to take a nap, don't you? Y'all want to take a nap. Sure you do. I do too. I'm tireder than you are. I had to preach this morning. I had trouble falling asleep. Not Brother Bill, it's just Denise's fault. I just couldn't get my mind off. It was probably 1 o'clock before I finally fell asleep. I was sawing logs at 8 o'clock this morning when Brother Bill turned on the music. And I said, turn that music on, Bill Lyon. I'm going to get you. See what I'm saying? See what I'm saying? He didn't give me till 8 o'clock. He didn't give me a... Oh, no. He had to fly all the way from San Antonio, had to lay over in Houston, come here, this. Couldn't fall asleep, and Bill Lyon's going to wake me up at 7:45 in the morning because he wants me to eat his hash browns. They were good. I didn't want to get it. I didn't. I put on a brave face this morning. Brother Bill standing there, had a smile on his face. How you doing, Brother? I'm doing fine, doing great. Man, never been better in my life. I just want to say, just give me just 5 minutes with this man. I'm going to keep you awake. I'm going to keep you all awake this afternoon. If I got to stay up, you got to stay up too. It's afternoon. Afternoon service is different. I don't feel like preaching. Not now. I mean, I feel like today. Don't worry. But there are times I don't feel like preaching. There are times that I just want to throw a songbook at the preacher. Now, you don't know what you're talking about. You have no idea what you're talking about. You don't have to get up there and fight what I got to go through. You don't know my case. You think you got all the answers, Mr. Know-it-all. I say this to preachers. I'm a preacher, and I think this to preachers. Y'all never going to invite me back, are you? Well, this is me, just me telling you, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. And then on the other hand, I feel like, well, if I can do it, then you can too. I can. My life went awry. Things got messed up. Things did not go according to the script. I had a great script written. Everything was going to work out, and it didn't. And I went through a period of blaming the Lord. And then I went through a period of blaming me. And I stayed there a very long time. And thought, it's all my fault. If I had done better, I should have done better. I should have been more vigilant. If it happened on my watch. You know, you're supposed to be aware of these things, and things just was going on that I wasn't aware of, and then it came to a head and just exploded, and the bottom dropped out, and I was just clinging to whatever I can, and it just did. I saw the aftermath and the ramifications of it all, and just wanted to just lock myself into the room and just never come out, and did not feel like getting out there and trying to tell people about things. I just wanted to be left alone. I believe this church asked me to come out during that time, and I said, no, I'm not coming. It's not your fault. I said that to a lot of churches. And the devil gets a hold of you. And the devil wants this to stop. He wants to stop what we're doing. And what the devil is doing is that he's getting into our homes and he's causing havoc. And it's not just knocking on the door, friends. It's happening right now. And it's not good. And you need to get it. You're going to get your heart broken. It's not going to be like it was. Because things have changed. Values have changed. And there is a great lie that was told at the very beginning in the Garden of Eden that is being perpetrated and expanded all over the place, and it's this: you shall be as God. And God did not tell you all the details. You know better. You do not need the Lord. You do not need the church. You do not need the scriptures. You do not need faith or hope. As a matter of fact, you might as well enjoy it and go for it, because you only live once. That lie then begins to turn to other things, worse things. Things like religion is just fairy tales. It's just for old people. It's passé. It's not current. It's not needful. It was for back then. It's not for now. Matter of fact, don't even update it. It's so out of date, there's no update. Just forget about it. As a matter of fact, there is no afterlife. There is no heaven. There is no hell. When you die, you die. There's no coming back. And by and large, people are fine with this. They're fine with it. They're okay with it. That's how bad things have gotten. They're okay with it. This afflicts us, because I'm talking about our children and our grandchildren. I'm talking about your nieces and nephews. I'm talking about your pastor, not Brother Jerry, your pastor, but I'm talking about theoretically. And what I want to do is I want to try to explain this to the Lord's people. And be the watchman on the wall. I want to warn you about this. And then at the same time, I want to assure you. They're the ones that have changed. God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And do not blame yourself. Remember when Jonah. Remember Jonah? Somebody mentioned Jonah, I believe Brother Jerry did. Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh. Do you know why Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh? Because he hated Nineveh. That's why. I've heard the preacher say, well, he was scared of the Ninevites. No, he hated them.
That's why he didn't want to go.
Why was he asleep on the hole in the ship during the storm? Because he thought, if I just pretend it like nothing's happened, if I just sleep through this, it'll pass. God will just forget about it. You know why he told them to throw him overboard? He would rather die than go to Nineveh. That's true. He would rather die than preach to the Ninevites. You know why he didn't want to preach? You know why? I don't know why he hated them, but you know why he didn't? Here's the second reason he didn't want to go? Because he knew if he went, they'd believe it, and they'd repent, and God would have mercy on them.
That's right.
And God did not want to have mercy on them. This is one of God's prophets. Right? Right? This is a Primitive Baptist preacher. Okay. Preachers are people. You know who needs to get over that more than anybody else? The preachers themselves. They're human beings. That's why the Apostle Paul said, Elijah. Let's talk about Elijah. He was a man. What did he say about Elijah? Who suffered like passions, even as we are. Jonah saw the whale. The whale swallowed Jonah. Why didn't Jonah pray when the whale swallowed him? He'd rather be in the belly of the whale than go to Nineveh. Why didn't he pray the second time? The second day. It took 3 days and three nights. And finally he realized, God's going to keep me in this thing until I do this. Now I've heard preachers say, well, Jonah died because he's a type of Christ. Jonah's a type of Christ. And so he died in the belly of the whale. That's wrong. Forget. Don't listen to that. That's wrong. That's wrong. Jonah was alive. He knew exactly what he was doing. He finally realized, God's just going to have to do it. Prayed. He looked again. God vomited him out. Right around. He went. He did what God said. He did what God said. And sure enough, they repented. And God had mercy. Then Jonah's flesh got a hold of him. He said, like, it just can't be. He goes up on this hill. He builds his booth. He said, I'm going to sit here until God rains fire down upon him. And that's pretty much where he's left. James and John, they were with the Lord. They went to the city, and the city would not receive the Lord Jesus Christ. James and John said, why would you send fire down and consume that village? Jesus said, you sons of Zebedee are too hard for me. You're too hard. So, again, we are troubled on every side. But we're cast down. We're not destroyed. We're not in distress. God has not forgotten or forsaken us. Do not forsake the Lord. So they sang in this jail. They sang out loud. They sang praises to God. They were praising God when we would think, why would they be praising the Lord? Because God is the Lord. That's why. And the Lord is worthy to be praised. Not just in the good times, but in all seasons. Because the Lord has been better to us than we deserve. The Lord sent His Son to die for our sins. Nothing can separate you from the love of God which is in Jesus Christ. Nothing. Not even yourself. Not even what you think. Not even what you think about what you think. Nothing. Persecution. Won't do it. Death. The grave. Things present. Things to come. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God. That is a Lord that is worthy to be praised. And even then, in our hour of complaint, and friends, I can complain better than you can. I can throw a better pity party than you can. Why do you think I have a Facebook page? People like my Facebook page because I throw excellent pity parties. Some of y'all don't have Facebook. You don't know what you're missing. Get on Facebook, become my friend, and we have a glorious time. You know what we do? We complain. And we feel sorry. You say, well, I don't want any of that. No, at the end, we're having a good time. We're praising the Lord because we get real, and then we get real. Because you can get to the point where it's, I just don't see what's good about it and everything else. And then like David, like King David, when the Philistines or Midianites or whoever had taken away everything and his own men wanted to stone him, it said David encouraged himself in the Lord. And that's what we do on my Facebook. We encourage each other and we pray for each other. That's one of the things of a church that I love, is that there is a support there and there is a love there that transcends everything, because it is a spiritual love. And there is a link that we have together, and it is a common thread of belief that God exists. Amen. I believe God exists. Because the fool had said in his heart, there is no God. I've seen too much. Just walk outside. The very heavens declare the handiwork of God. But oh, how delightful 'tis to see a whole assembly worship Thee. That's a great thing. And to think of these two men in that situation, singing praises to God. Now I get too curious. I want to know something. What songbook did they use in that jail? Did they use the number 11? Well, Sister Lita, my favorite's the good old song. They had to have used the good old songs in that jail cell. No, they didn't. In fact, there's only one songbook at that time, and it was a book of Psalms. All right. Now, how much musical accompaniment did they have in that jail cell? Was there an organ there? Was there a guitar? Did they have a choir? Did they have a drum set? You know, they sang a cappella, I do believe. Right? Paul didn't bring his trombone with him, did he? I don't read about that. As a matter of fact, the only time that you read of singing in the New Testament, there is no musical instruments. Isn't that interesting? I think we ought to follow suit. You hear about the Lord singing. You hear about the Lord. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus. Talks about that He's in the midst of the church singing praises. That's what makes singing good, is when Jesus is singing with us. Now, what instruments does Jesus bring with Him when He sings with us? That's a trick question. He brings one. You know what he brings? The only musical instrument allowed. That's the heart. After he had washed the saints' feet, and knowing that he was about to be delivered and crucified, they sang a hymn, and went to the Mount of Olives. You know where they were going? They were going to Gethsemane. Gethsemane is at the foot of Mount Olive. They were going to Gethsemane. To get to Gethsemane, they had to cross the Brook Kedron. You're getting 50 different sermons in one. The Brook Kedron, that was the sewage system. That was the open sewer of Jerusalem. That's where all the blood of the sacrifices and all the sewage flowed into that brook. Jesus crossed that brook. He was made to be sin, who knew no sin. Then he went to Gethsemane. That means the olive press. And there he suffered agony. My soul is in agony, even unto death. An angel came and strengthened him, and he prayed to God. Be careful what you think he prayed for. He was praying, basically, "Thy will be done." But before all that, he sang a worshipful hymn. That's what you do, friends, when you don't know what to do. That's what you do when you're sad. You sing because you're happy. You ought to sing more when you're sad. I know some people that don't go to church when life is not good. That's the time they need to be in church. That's when they need to start requesting songs. That's when they need to put on a tape of good singing and listen to it, and their soul is enlightened and comforted. That's when they ought to sing in the car or sing, "Just give God glory, and it will be a blessing to you. And let other people hear." The prisoners heard their singing. They sang out of the book of Psalms. They sang glory to God. They praised the name of the Lord. They said, "It's not us, it's you, Father, who deserves to be worshipped. It does not matter the circumstances or what has happened. Your will be done. You are in control of all this." And though, my friends, bad things happen, and they do, God in His power can make good come out of it. And in my situation, I did not know. Like I talked about that meeting that I went to, that I basically went to seek comfort with my brethren and just to get my mind off of things. And yet, things were happening right then that would work out to my deliverance years later. You could have told me that and I would not have believed you. But even then, before the storm, as I saw it approaching, and there at that meeting in Nowhere, Arkansas, in the heat of August, in this place that's out of just, I can't even tell you how to get there. And sitting there, and they came to me and they said, "Brother Dave, you're going to preach tonight." And I had nothing on my mind. I had every reason, I had every intention of telling Brother Adam Green, the moderator, said, "Brother Adam, I just don't have it. I'm just here to hear preaching." Yet something said, "You got to get up there." I didn't want to get up there. "You've got to preach. That's what I called you to do. That's your responsibility. You get up there and you praise the name of God. You get up there and you give glory to God. You tell people about Jesus Christ. You're to be instant in season, out of season. You say it's too hard." No, friends. No, it's not. It's too hard without the Lord. But it's not too hard when the Lord is there. And I went up there And if I was ever blessed, I was blessed that night to preach. I preached about Boaz's field in Ruth chapter 2. And I talked about how Ruth had lost everything. Lost her husband. Lost everything. And she left her home to be with her mother-in-law. And they came and they had nothing. And yet, God blessed her to be at the field of the very man that would deliver her. It said unto her, "Hap was to light upon a field that belongeth to Boaz." You know, that word "hap" means happenstance. It happened by accident. That's what it means. You say, "Wait a minute, Brother David." No, don't wait a minute. That's what it says. That's the inspired Word of God. You know, Solomon said, "Time and chance happeneth to all men." It says that. That's the inspired Word of God. But let's clarify that. Let's clarify it. Because Solomon also said, "The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing is of the Lord." We don't understand why things happen. We can't predict what happens. We think that this is just a fluke, or we just do this and just don't know what it means, and we just blindly go. And it's like I like that scripture that Paul used over there, and when he preached on Mars Hill, he talked about if haply we might feel after the Lord. If haply we might feel after the Lord. I thought about this scripture last night. I had to get up, get me a drink of water. And you know, when you're in a room you don't know where anything is. And I was, Brother Bill, they're going to think, "Man, I'm never going to get this guy in my house again. I love y'all's house. I love going to see it." But I was feeling. And I found the light. I found it. Oh, victory. I found the light switch. And that's how it is. This scripture came to my mind when I was doing that. When Paul preached on Mars Hill, he said, we feel after the Lord. It was like we're just groping. We're trying to find Him. We find Him. But really, did we find Him? No. He found us. He blessed us. And so things seem to our end happen by accident. But yet, my friends, God in His providence is leading us along. And she was there at the field of that man that she was to marry. That's what I preached. And in the congregation was the love of my life. I didn't know it. That tells me, friends, no matter what's going on, praise the Lord. Give God the glory. Thank Him for His amazing grace. Because it's going to be all right. We talked about this. Tribe here today. The Shunammite woman, when she lost her son, she said, "It shall be well." And when she got to the man of God, she said, "It is well." The man that wrote that song lost 4 of his children on a ship. They were at the spot as he's crossing that river, that sea, to go to his wife. And the captain said, "This is where it happened, where your 4 girls washed over." He wrote that song. When sorrows like sea billows roll, Thou hast taught me to say, "It is well with my soul." Brother Jerry talked about Fanny Crosby. Did you know, yes, she was blind. Did you know that she was married? And she had a little girl. And that little girl tragically died. Her husband was driven insane with grief and left her. Forsook her. And she lived alone for the rest of her life. And that's when she wrote all those hymns. The man that wrote "It Is Well With My Soul." before he lost his children, he lost all his money in a bank failure. They later would go to the Middle East, and there he served as missionary, and he had the loss of another child there. But he kept his faith to the very end. When I think about these things, it makes me encouraged. And I say, I'm going to keep going. And I'm going to keep singing. And I'm going to keep preaching. And I may be the last one. I'm going to keep going. But you know, Then I think about Elijah. I think about Elijah. He went down under that juniper tree. Oh, I've been there. I've been under that tree. The Lord sent an angel down and made him a cake. That's where angel food cake comes from. But it was good, don't you think? He ate the cake. He drank the water. He fell asleep again. The angel woke up, had another cake. That's why it's biblical to have seconds. It's entirely biblical to have seconds. And he ate that cake, and he drank that water, and then he walked 40 days and 40 nights. And it said he went by the strength of that bread and water for 40 days and 40 nights. He didn't eat, drink, or sleep, because what God gave him sustained him. He went up this mountain, went up Mount Sinai. He's still depressed. He's still angry. God said, what doest thou, Elijah? Elijah, they've the lament. They've dug down thine altars. They've killed the prophets. And now only I am left, and they seek my life. Then there was an earthquake. And then a whirlwind. And then a fire. But the Lord wasn't in it. And then he heard a still small voice, and that was the Lord. And the still small voice repeated the question, what doest thou here, Elijah? And Elijah had the same complaint. We don't learn, do we? Lord, they dug down thine altars. They killed thy prophets, word for word. And I am left. I'm it. When I die, that's the end of the primitive Baptist. That's it. You know, I read that about an obituary of a minister one time, and they said, what is the church going to do now that this minister is gone? I won't tell you what I thought because I knew the preacher, but, well, why did I just say that? It's afternoon service. At any rate, tell you what the church is going to do. We're going to keep doing what we've always done.
That's right.
Amen. And so, I'm it. Okay. And the Lord said, get over it. Get over yourself. Get down off this mountain. Get out of here and get busy. I've got things I want you to do. Now stop griping and start doing. That's what the Lord said. I have had that said to me by the Lord. I have been to the judgment seat of Christ. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. I believe that's a daily thing. I'm not worried about the end of time. The Lord's already taken care of that. I'm not worried about a judgment there. It's this daily judgment that gets me. And the Lord had said, like, now, why did you just do that?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And can you explain yourself? And the Lord said, I'm upset at you. But I still love you. Lord told Elijah, get off this mountain. Stop your griping. Stop your complaining. And the Lord told me, David, time to stop griping. Time to stop feeling for yourself. Sorry for yourself. Stop it. Stop it. The Lord is worthy to be praised. Everything is going to be okay because the Lord is in control. And so therefore, I left it off. I got down off my little mountain and start getting busy again. And the Lord blessed the end, like he did Job. The Lord blessed Elijah. You know what his prayer was under the juniper tree? Take me, Lord. You know what happened? The Lord took him. sent him a chariot of fire. You took him straight up into glory. Do you know the Lord is in? Now, I can't believe I was about to quit preaching. Can y'all give me 5 more minutes, please? 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Okay. 6 minutes? No, 5. Okay. Well, I'll just quit that point and get right back to preaching. The Lord sent an earthquake. Back to Paul and Silas. The Lord sent an earthquake. An earthquake. It was the strangest earthquake that has ever been. You know why? You know why this is the strangest earthquake that's ever been? Because it unlocked every prison cell and it knocked off the chains off the prisoners. Now, that's an interesting earthquake. But do you want to know what the greatest miracle of this whole thing is? Not one prisoner escaped. The Lord prevented it. When the jailer heard the earthquake, experienced it, saw that the doors were open, he knew that they'd all escaped, he was going to kill himself, fall on his sword. Another great miracle. Paul was in that prison cell and he knew exactly what the jailer was doing. How did he know that? The Lord told him. He said, do thyself no harm. We are all here. We are all here. How did Paul know that? How did Paul know that all the prisoners were there? The Lord told him. How do you know what you know? Have you ever heard a sermon that you've never heard this preached before, but you know it's true? How did you know that? Have you ever heard a sermon that you knew wasn't true? How did you know that? It's an uncertain sound. How do you know it's uncertain? The Lord told you. So, the jailer went into the cell. And he was trembling. And he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Oh, we tried to figure out what he meant by that. You know what I think he did? What can I do to have this assurance that you have? That's what I think he meant. Look at, he could see their faith. I want to be like that. And Paul said, repent and be baptized. And you'll be saved. Not only you, but your whole house. That man was baptized. And his whole house. He brought them out. He washed their shrouds. He set them at meat, down at meat. Now, here's what happened to me. King David said at the end of his life, although my house be not so with the Lord. That is one of the saddest scriptures you'll ever read. And it was true. There was a time that this David said that. My house is not so with the Lord. But the Lord is merciful. And I began to realize, what must I do to be saved? Can you believe that? I said that. And I didn't mean it to be eternally saved. Because I believe in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I needed a deliverance. I needed a deliverance from the time condemnation that I was experiencing. Because Primitive Baptists, we believe in time salvation. There's also a time condemnation. And I've experienced it. And I asked the Lord, what can I do to escape this? And the Lord, He didn't write it out to me, but in my soul, I knew. First of all, do not forsake the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, do not forsake your calling that the Lord has given you. Number three, study. Show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed. Number four, pray without ceasing. Number five, sing praises unto the Lord. Stand up for what's right. This is the way it will be in this house. This will be. These things will be honored in this house. These things are not tolerated. I have an intolerance of certain things, and it will not be brought into this house. I don't care. I do not care how out of touch you may think that I am. I'm speaking to these people who think I'm out of touch, not y'all. I don't care. I don't care what you say. I don't care. I don't care. I say that a lot nowadays. Because I do care about the cause of Christ. And I do care about what's right. And I do care that when you walk into my house, that you will feel the Holy Spirit. And God has delivered. I don't want much. I just want the Lord. I want this to be a place where there's peace, where there's joy, where we pray before we eat, where His name is never, ever dishonored. We do not say even figures of speech that dishonor the Lord's name. It is a place where on the Lord's Day, we all are in church. If you want to know where I am on Sunday, you know I'm at church. Do not call me. Do not text me. I've had some of my idiot children do that who have left the church. Text me at 10:45 on Sunday morning. You know better than that. Don't do it. And I tell them that. And I'm not afraid. You walk into this house, buddy, you better change. If you can't, then you don't come in. That ain't easy. But it works. If you can't respect the Lord, you will respect me. And did you know, my friends, that the Lord can bring back the dead, and He can bless where there was no blessing, and He can give you that blessed assurance that Sister Crosby wrote about, and even to the point where that which is lost is found, that which was taken is restored. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. This I have learned. This I tell you. I've struggled with this. I'm telling you this. This is what we face in this generation. This is not new. But I'm telling you, God loves His people. And He is a very present help in time of trouble. And I guarantee you, He will not forsake us. Because that promise is made. I will never forsake you. I don't ever want to forsake Him. May the Lord bless us. Thank you all very much. This sermon did not go the way I had planned either. But silver and gold have I none, such as I have give I unto thee. I love y'all very much. May the Lord richly bless you.
Amen, brother. We were flying on the wall that day when we were there in that high security jail cell. What would we have heard?